ears to receive the Word of God in such a way that, Father, they will act on it. They won't be just hearers only, but they'll act on what they hear. So that, Father, their life will be successful as they walk on this planet. Father, choose my words in such a way that it becomes light to the ears of the hearer. Father, we don't want it to go over their head. We want it to come alive in their understanding. Father, I thank you that you have found words to place them in my heart in such that I'm not an eloquent speaker, but I speak plainly the oracles that your word clearly declares. So, Father, this morning, the things that I've been sharing while I'm here has been words that will give life and give it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful people. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to minister the Word of God to them. Father, I know now more than ever that the responsibility of what I know and understand, if I give it to your people, they're responsible for what they do with it. Cause them to act on the Word of God so that they would never fail and succeed at every bit of the destiny that you have ahead for us. Amen and amen. I told you a few weeks ago we were teaching on the Isaiah 53, that the thing that caught my attention was how the wording was there. And as I studied the wording in the book of Isaiah, I began to notice that there's nothing I can do to receive a healing but believe in the one who completed that process by which I receive healing by. I also found in verse 5, that was referring to the wounds that a man incurs in his thinking or in his mind that affects the whole being. And I also found that it's the same person that heals my mind, removes the fear, the hurt, the anguish, just like a man would take a whip and lacerate a man's body. That was typifying the wounds that we take within our mental being, our thinking processes, that Jesus even paid the price for that. And the thing that was so beautiful about the whole thing is that we are to consider that God laid all this on the Son, that it would not be laid on us, so that we could go free. And the requirement for it has already been paid. It was just too good for me to understand. And yet, I heard that and I heard it. And one day, I heard it. And I didn't know what to do with it. Because God's so good. He's good to you and He's good to me. It's the minds of men that turn God against us. But it's the Spirit of God that turns God to us. Isn't that good news? That no matter what you incur in this lifetime, God has provided a way out. You just have to find that way and walk it out. But you know, the thing that was so remarkable is that, and why I never saw it before, is the fact that my faith will never come to me through the senses. It's impossible. My faith has to grow through my spiritual being. Period, over and out. At first, I felt so hopeless because I would never get the opportunity to ever receive anything from Jesus. Never, ever. in my lifetime will I ever receive anything from Jesus through his physical being. Like they did in the Gospels. Like they did in the Old Testament. I used to think, in some cases, some tests and trials of life, I used to cry out and say, God, if you would just appear, like you did certain testimonies or witnesses. One lady said that she had to stand in faith for her body because it was racked with cancer. And she stood the test of her patience. Her patience was working for her right up to her last breath. And Jesus walked through the wall into her bedroom and put his hand on her chest and said, you have called upon me, and I'm here to complete what I've already fulfilled for you. Well, you know, that is wonderful. But you know what brought Jesus? Her faith. But you know, not all of us will experience those exceptional things, you know. Some people are simply graced with that, and I don't know how to explain it. But I've resigned to the fact that I understand now how my faith operates. And as much as I would love the physical presence of Jesus and everything that I need, the only thing that I will ever exercise my faith on is revelation through the Word of God, what belongs to me. But what if you're not believing correctly? Your faith won't work. See, I never realized how much I was in harm's way, and that it was simply the grace of God sustaining me up as far as He had. But now, I have confidence in my faith. I have confidence in my faith. It will work. Before, it was just like I had this facade on the front of me. Oh, yes. Anything that comes my way. Oh, anything that comes my way. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But yet, when you bury a brother, there's always this haunting that comes back. If you're in that position, can you do it? Will your faith work for you? Thank God my fresh understanding of faith has eradicated that fear. I was talking with one brother, we were conversing, and he said, well, you know, Pastor, you've taught this stuff all along. And I said, yeah. Well, it worked for you, didn't it? And I said, yeah. Can you ever remember a time that it didn't? And I said, yeah. And he looked at me like, he said, well, how can you say that? I said, easily, because it didn't. I've buried brothers and sisters where their faith didn't work. The thing was, we always ended up coughing up some kind of doctrine to give reason why it didn't work. Or we come up with some revelation that was revealed to us in order to handle what we didn't succeed with. Or if we can't do that, then what we do is we just cast the secret things off on God if we can't give an explanation to it. But you know what? Sure don't help my faith. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I had an arm that couldn't even hardly function. Mainly because at the base now, you can't get through the base unless you present this real tight security card. And I had to roll my truck window up and down, which is hard to roll up and down. That affected my arm, and I used a paintbrush with my arm, painting all day long. And my arm began to collapse. You know, when you're 44 years of age, your body can't handle it as much. My wife wanted to thank you so much for blessing her for her birthday. But you notice on the video, we didn't mention the age. Smart. I said, "Why, isn't it great to have your blank, blank, bleep birthday?" She says, "That is not how old I am." I was driving in the truck with her, you know. And I said, "Sue, that is how old you are." She said, "It is not. You're making a mistake." So I started calculating in my head. Sue, and I looked over and she was looking away from me, grinning. She threw me off. I thought I had a revelation that I lost, but I picked it up again. Praise God. I won't tell you. Because you guys squeal on me. You know what Pastor said about you, Denise? So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Stay on good grounds. There's two people I have a hard time with. Myself and Sue. So we come up with something to ease our mind, rather than to face the fact that our faith did not work for us. I mean, my gosh, if we ever come to that realization, would it ever work again? Because we've got to have confidence. How many of you have seen so many brothers and sisters go to the grave and give you the testimony, and here you tried your best to believe for them, and until your believing system just gave out. And wondered why it's not working. And they were telling you, "Hey, come on, let me go. I'm tired of the fight." How many of you ever give? "I am tired of fighting. Just let me go home and be with the Lord." Well, you know, that's fine. We need to back off and let them go on home. But the thing about it is, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, the same Jesus that displayed the heart of the Father, the same Jesus said over and over again, "I will, I will, I will, I will." Same Jesus. Now what we've done because of resurrection, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, we've now come up with doctrines that try to change the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, and He hasn't changed one iota. To this day, He is saying, "I will. I will." There has not been one thing that ever changed in the heart of the Father that Jesus manifested to show you that heart that would change today. Now they've coughed up doctrines that divine healing is not for today. That means that Jesus' change from the time He left planet Earth to where He's seated today, you know what that's called? It is a seducing spirit. It's a lying devil. Because my Jesus does the same thing today that He did when He walked the shores of Galilee. Now, I got news for you. I understand very clearly now why even the 11 other apostles outside of Paul did not have a full understanding of resurrection faith. They only knew Jesus after sense knowledge faith. As much as the Old Testament stories have blessed us in the Gospels, I thank God. I thank God for them stories. I thank God that they trusted in Jesus. But they had Him to trust in Him. As great as their faith was, they had the man to go to. Jesus said, "Why should they pray and fast when I'm here?" But you know what? Even Jesus said there'll come a time when they will pray and they will fast. But as long as I'm here, they don't need to. Because all you have to do is come to me. You'll get it. But you know, we don't have that option. We don't hear about Jesus operating out of St. Louis, Missouri. Wonderful works to where we could send our servant for a request that he takes care of those in our household. We don't have that privilege. But the centurion did. And Jesus even remarked then, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. But people, yours and my faith is not based upon that faith. Our faith is based upon the New Testament epistles. Our faith is based upon the seating of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Our faith is based upon the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is based upon grace through Him. Our faith is based upon the knowledge and understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit's ability to bring the revelation in my heart that what belongs to me is rightfully mine. And I'm tired of people coming up with doctrines to try to hinder my ability to trust and believe in a completed work that made my faith complete, that the Old Testament and the Synoptic Gospel believers only had the author of their faith, not the finisher. And we have not only the author, but the finisher of our faith today. Glory to God. I don't care what my senses tell me. If Jesus said it, His word is true, and that is what my faith is based on. Period, over and out. I don't care how hard my mind tries to stop me. I have a weapon now that I can use against my thinking to bring that thinking into the obedience of the completed work of the resurrected Lord. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And how hard that is, many of us don't recognize. Why is it not working for us? Well, for one thing, some Christians don't know what testament to live in. When I found out that I don't have a covenant with God in the sense that the Old Testament believers did, I have the New Testament covenant, which is not an agreement while two people are alive. It is an agreement that two people consummated in death. And left us their will and testament, and I can't do anything about it. I can't add to it, and I can't take away. It's a done deal. The word testament is the word covenant. But they don't realize that the covenant was consummated between Abraham and Christ. And what they succeeded at doing, we got the grade. They left it to us. They're alive, but they're alive in the realm of the Spirit. But the benefits of that covenant, that last will and testament, is something we can operate in today. Why? It's been given to us. And then you tell me that Jesus, who walked the shores back then, has changed from what He did then to what He can do now? 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. You know, I used to think that if I can just get my thinking in a state of peace, my faith will work. Because I'd always question it. But I've come to the fact that my thinking only has one place. If it speaks against the knowledge of God, then I'd rather take the Word of God that is for me from my dispensation, my time period, and take a weapon, which is the Word of God or a promise, and take that promise and apply it against my thinking that speaks against the knowledge that God has revealed to me that's mine. I am not, my warfare is not with the devil. You want to know why? Jesus did something so we wouldn't have to war with Him. You know what He did to Him? He dethroned Him. He defeated him over the believer's life. Your problem is not the devil. Your problem is not sickness. Your problem is not mental. Your problem is not spiritual. Your problem is your belief system. Now, we have translators that have done, such a horrible job at giving us a translation of the Word of God. But the problem is, they've given us translations off of sensual mind junk rather than spiritual insight. That's why when you go back into what the Bible was written into the original language, you find that the original language doesn't even match what they translated into meaning in many places. Not all cases. Do you know what? If you shoot 100 balls out there at somebody, you're bound to hit something that you're aiming at, even though you miss a whole lot. And, you know, I thank God for them, but I have no more confidence in translators that did not understand that we have an inward anointing in our heart and life that Jesus promised we would have, that is the glory that we are to follow in order for us to receive what belongs to us. Man can't give that to you. Today we're following the glory of men more than ever. And the less you're hearing about the operation of the Holy Ghost, but it's going to resurrect. The respect for the Holy Spirit is going to come back into the church. Because the Holy Spirit has not been called to shine out of you. The Holy Spirit has been caused to have an effect in your spirit for your human spirit that Christ has given you. The nature of God to shine out of you. Glory to God. The further I go with God, the more convinced I am that you will not see revival start here in America. And the reason being is because we have found an answer that circumvents the need for God. Matter of fact, we've gone even a higher step. We have found now churches in the glory of men that suffices the person of Jesus. Matter of fact, most of your advertising now in churches, you never see anything about Jesus. It's all about the pastor and his wife. Looking real good. Matter of fact, most of it is success now in this life. I'll tell you what, Jesus not only has done everything to make sure you succeed here, but He's equipped you to succeed there. Problem is, if you never take the transformation when you get there, you'll find that you hadn't succeeded there. Well, I got there. Yes, you got there. But I don't want to enter in to the presence of my Lord as a poverty person. I want to enter in with an abundance. Because I have to stand accountable one day to the Lord for what I taught you. And I'm having more and more confidence all the time. Gee, somebody said, you know, you think you know everything. You are such a braggart. And I said, listen, you're mistaking pride for humility. The more convinced I am, the more humility is operating through me. Because you know, the further you go with God, the simpler He becomes, and the more you realize you don't know. Amen. So if I have attained anything that makes me look smart, just remember one thing. It's certainly because I didn't have my own special private enlightenment or interpretation. It's because God just revealed it to me through His Spirit. And that's all I can give credit for, is that I just opened my heart up to be humble. And that's why they hated Paul so much. Many of them couldn't understand where this guy was coming from. Why? Because when you violated truth, he was very boisterous about it. And they even made the remark, one of the Corinthian bunch that was corrected by Paul, made the remark, well, Paul, you're not right. And Paul said, hey, listen, I've learned how to follow my conscience. I'm not aware that I'm doing anything wrong. But if something was wrong there, God would sure see to it that I would know something about it in my conscience. He says, and even if I'm missing the mark, which I'm not aware of, when I stand in the presence of God, even that will be exposed. He says, well, I'm going to tell you something, you who judge me. He says, you're judging me by the light of a human day. In other words, what you can understand through your senses. Praise God. But you can't discern people that way. That's why he made it very clear in chapter 2. You're chasing after the glory of these ministers. But I got news for you. The glory of God is found in your heart through the operation of the Holy Spirit. By that nature that God has given you for the Holy Spirit to work on. He goes over there in 1 John, the whole book about communion through the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he says very clearly in that book, he says, you need no man teach you. He wasn't referring to people us teaching you the Word of God. He was referring to Christians who go astray and are leading you astray because they weren't committed to the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Are you following me? He says, you don't need these men to teach you. I've had Christians, and it came out of my mouth, teachings that I thought was proper. And when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, I couldn't believe that I believed that. Till He corrected it. The Holy Spirit is the most accurate thing that you can rely and trust on, in spite of where you're at with anything or anyone. I just see to it I don't get caught up in another man's glory. Because if they become my teachers, then if they miss the mark, that ceiling will land on me. Then I'll miss the mark. Are you following me? But I have to have total trust that no matter what I hear, the Holy Spirit, if I'm in fellowship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will prove what is true and what isn't. And I can prove that by the Word of God. First of all, I want you to know Hebrews chapter 3 first. How many of you remember that Sunday morning? Wasn't too long ago. Well, it's kind of creeping along here. Where I was interrupted at the beginning of the service because something happened to me. And I got caught up in the Spirit and you all disappeared. And all of a sudden, everything was black. And all of a sudden, I saw the entire book of Hebrews laying flat, spread out before me. And then I saw words in English come up out of every chapter. And when I saw it, now I'm telling you, through my senses by a vision, are you following me? I see the words over every chapter, and my mind goes, boonk. And something on the inside of me was leaping, saying, that's it. That's it. But you know, when I get about the third and fourth, fifth chapter, all of a sudden, my brain that had been locked into what it thought those chapters meant, threw me off guard. Because I didn't think that what I was seeing was what was in there. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so I was going to prophesy out everything I said or I saw to you, and I could have done it very clearly because I had each chapter just summarized by verses. And if I'd have prophesied it out, we'd have gotten it on tape. Because later on when I went back and searched out what I thought was not correct, I was wondering if I was being taught other than the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying? I found out that was correct. So then I had to sit and try to meditate through all, you know, try to recall all that. And I was looking for another vision. Bring it back, Lord. But I'm going to let you know something about, a little bit about chapter 3 and chapter 4. We're going to do just a little teaching that caught my attention. Hebrews 3. When you read chapter 3, you come down to a verse that's very interesting. It is verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice. How many read that? Now, is there any translations here that say something different? I got to check up on these translations because some of them I got to think, my gosh, how did they come up with that translation? Do you all have a translation that kind of goes along with that? Notice, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice. You hear His voice. Reminds me of John 16 where it says, whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. You know why some people can't communicate very well? Because they're not good listeners. The reason the Holy Ghost communicates so well, He's a good listener. It says whatever He hears. He didn't come to speak of Himself. He came to reveal what He has heard. Now, I want us to hold your place right there, and I want us to go over to 1 John 5. And I'm going to eliminate a mystery. 1 John 5, and hold your place there. In 1 John chapter 5, let's go to some very interesting verses that have confused many. And here they are. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Isn't that amazing? Our faith is what overcomes the world. Then why have we missed it? Why hasn't our faith always worked? And I'm not talking about some thing that you've brought up in your mind when your faith hasn't worked, so you come up with some kind of doctrine or some kind of reason why it wasn't supposed to work. I'm talking about when you knew that you were believing God for something that didn't work. Now, most of us like to get the testimony. God has answered every single prayer of mine. He has answered everything that I've ever asked for. And we usually do that to brag on God. But really, in the back of our mind, there are times when our faith has not worked for us as it ought to. We just don't want to admit that. Why? Number one, it's an indictment against us because of our pride. I'm going to tell you something. When my faith don't work, I don't stop there and sit, well, there's a reason, and God just ordained it that way, and that's the sovereignty of God. It'll work out the way He wants to, which undermines everything that you ever want to believe for. No, you know what I do? God, where am I missing it? You're never wrong. I'm the culprit. We don't want to take the responsibility of failure. Well, who said you was a failure? That's in your thinking, not God's. You might miss the mark, but you're not a failure. You want to know why? Be of good cheer. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But I have overcome the world, so you might as well get to rejoicing. Because anything that I need to overcome the world with, it's because Jesus succeeded over that world and has given that credit to me. All I have to do is see to it that the Word of God is birthed in my heart through revelation so I can operate on it. Glory to God. That's what I got to be concerned about. Now notice in this mysterious verse chapter. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's a question. And this book was not designed on who's saved and who wasn't. That's our translator's interpretation. This book is based upon how our fellowship gets tighter and tighter in spite of how we miss the mark with each other. Now notice what he goes on to say. This is he that came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, I'm going to quote these verses out of the original tongue that they were written in, not according to the translators. You want to know why? They were never, ever found in any witness. This translation came out of the Dark Ages. And they believe that the translation came out of religion. Some priest somewhere began to write it in the Bible. They don't have any early witness that these verses were ever quoted the way that they are quoted in your translation. Therefore, one of my center margins said that you should not even regard the way it was written. Ted, you've seen that? You shouldn't even regard it because it was never in any of the original witnesses of the Bible. So I'm gonna quote it to you the way it was quoted. And the reason I'm doing this, I want to bring a reality to you of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. This is He that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. You know what He's referring to, people? Jesus came through the womb of Mary. Water and blood. Now notice this. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. That is referring to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is truth. And you find that in John 16:13. Now follow me closely. Follow me real closely. Verse 7 is not there. And the second half of verse 8 is not there. So let's read it that way. This is He that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. We also find that in Romans 8:16. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Now notice this. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in the one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, because He has borne witness concerning the Son of Him. You know who He's referring to there? The Holy Ghost. And He's saying that Jesus came into this world through the womb, water and blood. And it is the Spirit of truth that performed that operation. It was the Holy Ghost that seated in the womb of Mary so that the world might know that He is qualified to teach you of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One brother said, I know, but you got to realize the translators of even our early Greek were not saved. They were doomed because He took out the Trinity there. God wasn't interested in teaching you the Trinity in these verses. He was interested in qualifying the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit definitely is qualified to be the Spirit of truth to reveal who Jesus is. Why? He was instrumental in the conception in the womb of Mary. That's what qualifies the Holy Ghost to be the one who reveals Jesus Christ, not the witness of some man. Whew. Go back to Hebrews 3. Talking about our faith. Our New Testament faith. Wherefore, verse 7 of Hebrews 3, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice. Notice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And the book of Hebrews was written to a converted Jew that did not want to apostatize on Jesus. They wanted to go back into Judaism. I find Christians wanting to do that today. Go back into Judaism. Why? To find my roots. You ain't going to find your root there. You want to know why? Because that is how God formerly communicated to man, through the fathers and the prophets. But He communicates to us one way today, and that is through His Son, period, over and out. Anything in the Old Testament is a mystery. Anything in the New Testament is revealed knowledge, revelation knowledge, what your faith is based on, so that you can go back and finally see clearly where they missed it and you don't have to. And so He uses an example of these wilderness walkers. He says they were in the wilderness. And He says they followed God. But all the time they followed Him, they were in unbelief. They never believed anything that He was willing to do. He takes them out of Egypt. He takes them out of bondage. And He tells them where to go through Moses and to leading them to a promised land. And they didn't trust in Him. From every situation and test and trial, the provocation, the day of testing, they didn't believe Him because their heart was not mixed with faith. Go back to my roots. You know where my roots are found? They're found in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I've come out of the womb of God. Just like Jesus came out of the womb of Mary. I come out of the womb of God. His blood has spawned His spiritual nature in my spirit. I was once dead, but now hath He quickened me and co-raised me to sit in heavenly places with my Lord Jesus Christ. That whatever I now activate my faith in, it will work because it's predicated on His ability in me. Glory to God. Christians, I don't care what church you attend. If they lead or allure to the fact that you're a failure, you got news for you. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. I got news for you. Every one of you are sitting here with God on the inside of you, which is a hope of His glory. And every one of you are victorious. The devil's trying to keep your mind out of what you really are in God. The world's looking for heroes. They're making movies about heroes. And the resurrected God-man is the hero for this world. It is you. Glory to God. And your flesh stands up and slaps you right alongside the head and says, shut up. You'll do what I tell you to do. And we're stupid enough to believe it. Paul says, you know what I did with my body? I learned to make it my slave. It don't tell me nothing. The only thing that tells me anything is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom I pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling for what I've been apprehended for. He wasn't talking about ministry. He was talking about the purpose for Him even being born again, the purpose of Him growing in the Lord, the purpose for His striving forward. And He says, the only way I'm going to strive forward and attain to the very thing that Jesus did everything for me is I got to forget what's behind and I got to look to what's ahead so I can succeed. Okay, today if you will hear His voice in your hour of temptation, knowing this, that your trial or your test worketh your patience. I wish I had some way of taking all my enlightenment, my illumination, and put it down past your head into your spirit. You would come alive like me. Some Christians think they got it. It's all here. You got it when it's here. 18 inches. Well, how do you know whether it's in your head or in your heart? It's simple. How you walk with God is how you walk with each other. Some people think that they can grow spiritually by obtaining all this head knowledge and not walk with their brother or sister. You're just an accident going somewhere to happen. You're a legend in your own mind. I've learned not to say I've arrived. You know when I got the revelation that I haven't arrived? When my faith doesn't work for me. Sorry, I'm the pastor. Does your faith work for you? It does now. I told you about my arm. I had the sciatic nerve. I couldn't even sit on it on one side. When I got this revelation, I said, we'll start there, Lord. There's a lot of other things that are going to work on it, but I'm going to start right there. I want this arm healed, and I want my rear end to be healed. I said, so we're going to go there first. We're not going any further until I get some results. And God says, okay, if you get some results, He says, start off with the results already gotten. That's a good idea. And it's hard to understand that your faith works off of a completed work, not something you're going to get. Because your faith does not say, I'll ascend into heaven. That is, get something out of Jesus. Or I'll go down and bring Jesus Christ up from the dead. In other words, there's got to be some more completion done to this salvation before it's finished. It's a done deal. You know what? The only way you qualify for it is to realize that you qualified for it through Him, not yourself. Because your mind will always indoctrinate you so that you cannot do the Word of God. Why? Because that's where your imaginations come from. Your imaginations are thoughts and processes that speak against the knowledge of God, not against you. Against the knowledge of God. Why? Your sense mind only exists out of its senses. It don't know nothing else. It will always have a voice when you say, I am going to walk by faith and not by sight. Your mind will talk. It'll have a voice. So that you understand what I'm saying. I'm going on a diet and lose 50 pounds. You want to eat everything in sight. That's what I'm talking about. Paul didn't say the weapons of warfare are demons. He said the weapons of our warfare are these imaginations that speak against what Jesus has already said and given you. And you've got to be obedient. That's all you got to do with your faith. Be obedient. Find the Word. Get into the Word. Apply the Word. Some believers come up to me and said, my faith just isn't working for you. And I said, are you just now figuring that one out? They looked at me and said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I could have told you that before you even thought you were in faith. Because they don't do the things that are necessary to keep their faith strong where it belongs. You know, God, you can't vacation on God. There ain't no place to go to get away from Him. The only thing you can do is cut Him out of the equation of your mind. You've got to bury Him someplace. So you can get away with what you shouldn't be doing. But He's still there. If I'm convicting you, good. Because it's the Word of God that convicts. So he says to them, Paul, the writer, Hebrews. He says, look, don't be like these idiots. In the Old Testament. I'm paraphrasing it. He says, because when they faced a test or a trial, they didn't have any faith. They went screaming to God, murmuring and complaining. And said, well, God brought us out here to kill us. Oh, man, what a mess we're in. Moses had to go to God and say, God, what are we going to do with this bunch? God said, let's kill them and start all over. You know, I often wonder why God took that approach. You want to know why? Because their heart was bound to not believing Him. So you know what God said after Moses talked them out of that? He says, okay. He says, we'll let them live. He says, just leave them alone. We'll let them all walk in the wilderness to drop dead. He says, but the second generation, Moses, that's the one you got to key in on. He says, so you key on that generation because I'm going to take them into the promised land. Until they get rid of that flesh, they can't enter into the fullness of what I have for them. And guess what? There's only two that came out of that generation. Joshua and Caleb. Amen. The others were cut off. And did you know what? You can live your whole Christian life and never experience Canaan. How? Unbelief. Do you know what the uniqueness of this word for unbelief is? when you start reading? There are two types of unbelief, people. One type is to be ignorant of God's truth. That's where God will grace you. But to know His truth and not do it, you're in disobedience. And did you know that what He said there about that nation? He came down and He said they could not enter into their rest because of their unbelief. That is the Greek word disobedience. It wasn't that they didn't hear the truth. It's that they heard the truth and still didn't trust the Lord. Now let me ask you something. Would you guys have a problem in trusting the Lord today if you woke up and found that at night you had a pillar of fire over your house to give you light during the night? And then in the morning, if it was hot on the outside, you didn't have a air conditioning unit. You had a dark cloud over your house to keep out the burning rays so that you wouldn't be tormented. Would you have a hard time believing in the Lord if that was the case? Would you think that if He would do that for you, that if you faced anything today, the Lord would provide for you? Oh, you guys wouldn't have a problem, wouldn't you? You want to know why you guys wouldn't have a problem? Because you got God on the inside of you that has given you a supernatural trust, and you don't even give yourself credit for that. But did you know that back then those people couldn't trust God with all that? Think about it. Hey, here you are. Red Sea. Whole stick. Okay, walk across dry ground. Get to the other side. Get thirsty, then curse God because He parted the Red Sea, got you on the other side where there's nothing but desert, and now there's no water. Thank God for the love of God. If it had been me, I'd have smote y'all. You know what I'd have done? I'd have probably erected cement walls for where the Red Sea was so that Pharaoh's army can travel back and forth several times to get rid of you. Because after all that, they still said, I know why He parted the Red Sea so I could get us over here and cause us to die of thirst. You know what? If you guys were back in that time period, after being in this one, if you were back in that time period, you know what you guys would be doing? Every one of you, not even a question in my mind what you're doing. Hey, wait a minute. Don't talk that way. You guys are nuts. Wait a minute. I got the New Testament revelation in my heart. I came from that. What's up ahead? Woo! Don't be acting that way. There's going to be water come out of the sand if need be. That's the way you would be. Wouldn't you, after experiencing this, come up to the to the rock, the waters of Mirma? How are we going to die of thirst? Do something, Moses. You guys would sit there and say, hey, you don't need to bother Moses. You don't need to bother him. God will give him instruction what to do. Water's going to come. Don't worry about it. Where's it going to come? I have no idea, but it's going to come. That's how much faith is already in your hearts, people. You would enter into the promised land, and you have entered into the promised land. The only thing that you got to realize now is that in the day of your testing, you don't have the past to look forward to. You've got the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's accredited to you. Anything you can do about it but believe Him. Then let faith be mixed with your heart and trust Him when He said He'll provide. I got to stop. Did you get something here? Boy, I don't want to stop. But I got to. I got this word of knowledge that your seat can only endure for so long. I also heard these thoughts. Does he realize what time it is? You won't hear it from me. You know what? The knowledge of God is going to get so great that you guys are going to be so hungry that you ain't going to want the service to shut down. You already am. I like that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, after being able to serve you, brother, for a while, you know what I perceived of you? I perceive that you're a man that has labored hard his whole life, and that you've lost a loved one, that you know what it's like to lose a loved one. But I perceive that the day dawn, the day star has been arising in your heart. Amen. And there's a fresh love and appreciation for the Word of God in your heart. And I hear you say over and over, if I'd have known this sooner at certain things, if I'd have known this sooner, it would have given me more ammunition. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right on.
You know, that didn't come as a revelation from Jesus. It comes from an observation of a pastor that knows when a certain pupil can receive the teaching.
Amen. Thank you.
That it'll work. That's purely how I interpreted that.
Thank you.
I didn't give you a word, Joe, because I know you too well. Well, Joe, I can give you a prophecy, but because I know you so well, it would probably be off of my knowing you rather than the Spirit giving it to me. Do you know what I mean? Thus saith the Lord. I perceive that you've been here before. You see what I mean? Stand up, everybody. Jason and his wife. What a wonderful reception yesterday. I'm just going to miss you guys. Going to miss you guys, but you're going back to a good church, Keith Butler. Hallelujah. He's a minister I highly respect. Praise God. What a privilege to have Jason connected to a wonderful ministry like that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is Jason preaching tonight to the youth? Oh, Jason, get him. Get her done. Praise God. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you so much for the Word of God. Father, your Word is so powerful. And Father, as we begin to close this service, I pray that if there be anybody here that has never really received Jesus, has known about Him but not known Him personally. Father, it starts with a new birth. It starts with being born from above. And so, Father, as we take time, just this few minutes now, if there's anybody here that even questions their salvation, we want to pray for them. And if there's anybody here, Father, that knows they're born again but are struggling, constantly struggling, and they want it to end, they want to enter into a place of peace and rest, they want to restore their fellowship and begin that journey of a rest that we're to contend for. And Father, we know that it's simply because a promise has been left behind for them, and that they are to labor to enter into that place of rest, and we want to show them how and pray for them. And if you're here and you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in that spiritual language, your human spirit's language that the Holy Ghost gives you, then we want you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for that is what removes the veil of understanding about the person of the Lord Jesus in you. So if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, these three areas are vitally important. The new birth, the restoring of your fellowship with Him, and the baptism of the Spirit. With every head bowed, saints believing, praying. Right now, as the Holy Spirit has moved in your hearts, if you fit one of those areas, I want you to step out and come forward. Feel free to step out and come forward. Feel free. Feel free. Feel free. Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come right here, sweetheart. Anyone else? Anyone else? I want you to feel free to do that. Feel free to do it. Anyone else? Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. You can turn around and face me, sweetheart. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Gosh, she looks like Joyce Myers. I thought it was Joyce Myers coming up here. Anyone else? I would have really prayed for you then. No. No. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't hesitate. Anyone else? Oh, hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. You know, if you're sitting there and you think, well, I think the Holy Spirit speaks to me, that's a good indication you need to be here. Thinking ain't going to get it. Knowing. It's knowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things are starting to come out of my spirit this morning. Do you guys have a little patience? Okay, Father, first of all, I want to pray for these two wonderful people that have come up here. Father, I thank you so much for these precious little ones here that are here this morning that have responded to this altar call. Father, as I commission them to the altar ministers, Father, I pray that every question that they have or the purpose of them being here would be met through our altar workers in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you will, turn around and just go with the ones behind you and communicate with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a young person here, and I don't expect you to come up, respond to this. I remember getting this revelation once when my son came forward and shocked me. This was years ago. But you don't have to come forward on this word that I've got. But if afterwards, if you would like to come and get prayer, I would be willing to pray with you. But the Lord told me that just recently, through the influence of some of your friends, they're introducing to you drugs. And the Lord told me to tell you that the temptation has been there so strong about trying it. And the Lord told me to tell you, don't take that journey. Your flesh has not acclimated to the position of drugs yet. But what the enemy is trying to do is to take you out because of your potential to serve the Lord. And so at the close of this service, if this testimony witnessed to you, feel free. I'll take just a few minutes to wait on you, but I want you to feel free to come up. I don't want all of you standing around seeing who it is. But if you feel free to come up and talk to me or talk to one of the elders of the church, please go to them. Go to any of the elders that have the power to minister to you and pray for you. Don't take that step. The Lord told me to tell you, don't take the step. The temptation's but for a moment, but you won't have the battle that those who've given into that temptation would have. Don't do it. I don't know who you are, but a strong influence has been on you. And you don't know who to confide in or what to do. But the contemplation is not good. John Duclos is up. Make himself available as well. He's up here. Father, as I dismiss this service, may they have a great day today. Father, may the Seahawks win. And Father, may we have a good evening service. With that, you're free. God bless you.